Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
He's made his choice. But what choices will women be left with? Just like Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan would get rid of Planned Parenthood funding. In Congress, Ryan voted to ban all federal funding for Planned Parenthood and allow employers to deny women access to cancer screenings and birth control. And both Romney and Ryan back proposals to outlaw abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. For women, for president, the choice is ours.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Well, that's a Barack Obama commercial that is targeting Paul Ryan on issues that, for some reason, I mean, I've never been able to understand why being against abortion on demand somehow makes you against women. But I guess we can sort that out for the next few minutes of issues, et cetera. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse joins us to talk about GOP vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan and women's issues. Jennifer is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Since when did being against Planned Parenthood or abortion on demand become the same as being against women?
Oh, Todd, you are so out of step. I mean, honestly, didn't you know from the beginning of the women's movement, you have to be 100% in agreement with the most radical of feminists, or you're anti-woman? I mean, surely you're pulling my leg, Todd. Since about the publication of Betty Friedan, it's been considered anti-woman to utter a word against these women and their goals. It's quite ridiculous, actually.
What does the opponents of Paul Ryan, what do they want to say? Because a lot of this seems to be kind of couched in code, assuming a lot of things about what the American woman believes, what the American woman voter believes. What are they trying to say to the female voter?
I think what they're trying to say is that that your aspirations are hanging in the balance here. That if you that your aspirations really and truly depend on you being able to have abortion and contraception on demand on any terms that you want at any time, and that your aspirations, your career, your higher education, everything depends on absolute control over your fertility. But they never come out and say that, because as soon as you say that, you start to see how full of holes that actually is. It's pretty easy to poke holes in that. But I think that's what they really think. I mean, I think they think that the only way women can participate in the labor force and in higher education is for them to be able to have sex without ever having a live baby show up, unless you actually want one, unless you happen to want one at that particular moment, because that's the only way you can actually be like a man. And so the result of that is that the economy has been reshaped around that view. It has been reshaped around that reality so that women are really expected to work just like men, you know, in order to succeed in their careers, because that has been the mindset that has been promoted. So there's a whole package deal of an ideology here that they hint at, as you say. It's a kind of code, because if you actually spelled it all out, it would become obvious that it's really not pro-woman. It's really pro-women acting like men. That's what it's pro. But to be pro-woman as woman, to be pro-woman as a human being that has the potential and privilege of giving birth to new life, no, they don't have anything to say to that person, you know, and so they have to couch it in these kind of circuitous ways that you're talking about.
In your opinion, have they misread the female electorate, the opponents of Paul Ryan, especially with respect to those women's issues?
But you know what? I just this minute, I was looking at a Gallup poll that was posted over at somebody, a National Review posted this Gallup poll, asking, you know, is there a gender gap on the abortion question? And you know, if you ask all women and then ask all men, you know, do you consider yourself pro-life or pro-choice? The difference is really not that great. Men are only about 2 percentage points more pro-life than women are. So it's not really that big of a deal, honestly. And I suspect what would happen is if you broke it down by married women and unmarried women, I suspect that's where you would see the big difference, Todd. You know, women who are unmarried and who maybe already have children out of wedlock, they may be voting differently. Or they may see themselves differently. But you know, if you just look at all men and all women, the gap, the gender gap in who calls themselves pro-life is not really that big. So I'm not sure who they think they're talking to.
I'm wondering about this, and I heard this with respect to the whole Todd Akin controversy, but I think it applies equally well to the kind of the entire picture of the presidential race that's before us here, Jennifer, and that is someone's criticism, and this was, I believe, Claire McCaskill of Missouri, saying, well, what we're hearing in response to all of the Todd Akin thing is yet again more men, or she said more politicians, all of whom are men, trying to talk about women's issues. And she seems to be saying that men can't address those issues, or perhaps even hold valid opinions on those issues.
Oh, my gosh, you're making me really upset now. Okay. Were you trying to get me mad? Were you trying to make me mad, Todd?
I'm just asking the questions, Jen.
You're just asking. And I'm not supposed to lose my cool on the radio. Okay, first of all, what she just did there is a standard leftist tactic that I want especially all your male listeners to notice, that the point of what she said is to make it so men feel intimidated about sticking up for traditional values. And the traditional role of the father and the husband is to protect and provide for the family, to protect the family, provide for the family. So if you can get the husband to not be doing that, if you can get the husband to be intimidated about taking the traditional gender male role, you leave the wife and the children, or the woman and the children, vulnerable, and guess who gets to take over the job? The state, the government. Okay, so the alternative to marriage is the government. And so by intimidating men, by making men afraid to speak out, the lifestyle left has left a big empty beach there for them to be able to, you know, say whatever they want without any serious opposition, you know. And so the only people who are allowed to speak out are other women, and they try to intimidate us into not saying anything either. But then the second thing, the second reason that this really irritated me is I just received in the mail an unedited galley of a book that will be published by our Sunday Visitor Press. I'm not sure when it will come out. It's by Helen Alvarez, who is the editor of it, and it's called Breaking Through, Catholic Women Speak for Themselves. And this is a whole collection of essays by Catholic women from all different walks of life speaking in defense of traditional values, of the ancient Christian teachings on marriage, family, human sexuality, the teachings that every Christian church held right up until 5 minutes ago. This is a book of women defending that. So the idea that all women agree with, you know, whatever her name is who's running there in Missouri, whatever her name is, whoever she thinks she is, that all women agree with her automatically because of our chromosomes, forget about it. It's not true. So your women who are listening need to know that they're not the only women who feel that way, and your men who are listening need to know that they need to speak up and not be intimidated by the likes of this lady.
I mean, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I think I would probably be beaten senseless if I were to stand up at a political rally and say, where a woman was running for office, and say, you can't speak for me, I'm a man.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't think of any particular men's issues right now, but if she were to address one, I don't know that it would work the other way.
No, it certainly would not work the other way. And part of the strategy here is that identity politics is something that has worked very well for the left. You know, if you think about the traditional leftist issues, you know, the traditional, you know, let's be pro-union, let's be pro-redistribution, and so on and so forth, those things are having a kind of lease on life under the Barack Obama presidency. But in point of fact, he didn't get elected to do that stuff. He didn't get elected on that. If you put that out there and say, hey, everybody, what we're going to do is unionize everything, what we're going to do is socialize the whole healthcare system. We're going to nationalize the auto industry. He did that. He did not run on that. People would not. People don't vote for that. People. That's not a positive program that Americans really rally around. Even during this biggest recession, right? This big, huge recession that we have. You know, people don't really go for that the way they do in Europe, for example. The thing that works for the left in America is identity politics. And so you put your finger on it right there, Todd. You know, you as the white male Protestant, you are the chosen aggressor, oppressor, around whom everybody can rally and say he's the bad guy. And in effect, you're being used as a scapegoat. See, in effect, you are the new victim in a strange sort of a way, because you're responsible for all the ills that are going on in society, and everybody just gets to stare and point at you and never do anything for themselves, mind you, you know, but just use you as somebody to blame. So it's extremely important because of that tactic. I think it's extremely important, first of all, to unveil that tactic and to point it out when it's being used, and for women to speak out against it, for Catholics to speak out against it, for people of color to speak out against it. And by golly, Barack Obama has been unifying exactly those groups of people. People are starting to say, you know what, this guy doesn't represent me. Even among African Americans, people are saying, you know, we're excited that he's the first black president, but doggone it, we don't agree with his policies, and we're going to speak out against his policies. Even African Americans are talking like that. So the identity politics card gets played over and over and over again, and honestly, I think it's got some frayed edges around it by now because people are catching on to it.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, thank you again.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be with us. We're going to do a review of two movies, The Bourne Legacy and The Expendables 2. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana; Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota; Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota; St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado; Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri; and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features some of your favorite guests. Pastor Will Wheaton.
Because the one, the individual one, is so important, he would have done everything that he did if it had only been you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
People are bored with God's word, so we've got to bring something else. So you have now a church service that has nothing to do with the Lord's word or with Jesus.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Do not fear that you face death. Do not fear that your sins are great.
And Pastor Bill Swirla.
The more you see your sin, the greater a Savior Jesus appears.
View and share the new Issues Etc. YouTube video. You'll find it at issuesetc.org and click support. Introduce Issues Etc. to your friends, family, and coworkers today with our new YouTube video.